Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for real estate investors looking to protect their assets, save on taxes, and build their wealth with Clint Coons. Clint is an attorney, author, avid real estate investor, and featured instructor at Anderson's tax and asset protection events held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. Hi, it's Clint Coons here with Anderson Business Advisors, and this is another edition of our weekly podcast. And this week, we are going to be talking about marketing. All right, let's face it. When it comes to real estate investing, it is difficult for a lot of people to cut through the clutter out there and find more deals. I mean, you've probably been to a seminar, a RIA meeting, and there's a speaker there talking about how they have this system where you send out letters, and then you go to another event, and there's another guy sitting there telling you how you can send out letters. One person uses blue paper, the other one uses yellow paper, but everyone's doing it. And just think, if you're the homeowner that's a distressed seller and you're getting inundated with the same information over and over again, what's going to happen? I know what I would do. I would tune it out. You need something that's going to stand out. Cut through what everyone else is doing and approach it to get their attention. And so what I thought I would do with this podcast is bring on an expert in this field, someone who is doing it, has done it, has helped people break through this clutter, that's developed some steps to educate you on as to how to separate yourself, how to put these deals back into your pocket so that you can find success out there with your real estate investing. And the individual that I have with me today is Max Keller from Customers Chasing You. His podcast YouTube channel is phenomenal. I mean, there's so many little nuggets in there that you can go and listen to and find out what you should be doing. If you're not already doing it right now, check that out. Google Customers Chasing You, you'll find them. But he's going to share with you today the five steps that everyone should be looking at or considering when it comes to marketing. If you're a real estate agent, real estate investor, small business owner, you want to listen in. Max, how you doing?
Hey, real good. Thanks for having me on the show. Hey, everybody, sit down, take some notes. We're going to be dropping some knowledge bombs today, and I hope it can help you. You can put it into action immediately in your business. And so I'm excited and feeling blessed to be on the show.
All right. So this isn't easy. I'm going to come here. We're going to grill you. I want to know, you know, what makes you an expert in this versus all these other guys that you see out on the circuit that have been teaching people how to invest in real estate and how to market, actually dropping letters and doing skip trades and all this stuff. I mean, why should I listen to you today?
Well, you'll decide. It's totally your choice. Expert is a title that's given by other people, not, the actual person. I've been, well, number one, I've done this and gotten results. So that's a big difference. And I'm still getting results with the information that I'm, going to share with you guys today. And the other thing is that creativity. So a lot of folks, they're out there talking about the same things over and over. But a lot of things we're going to talk about today, you probably haven't heard anywhere else. So stay tuned.
So how did you get started in it? I mean, made you wake up one day and decide, I've got a better mousetrap. I need to learn. I'm going to teach people how to do it a different way.
Yeah, well, it started by just being miserable. So if anybody's out there, I mean, that's a good way, right? Pain, avoid pain. It's pretty simple. So I started flipping houses about 4 years ago. I flipped about 120 houses, over this time period. I got to about deal 60 and I was really kind of miserable. I was making good money. I was a teacher before I got into real estate. So I like to, teach and help others. It's just kind of in my DNA. And I felt like I was not doing that, buying people's homes. It was very transactional and I was just kind of miserable. I was making good money, but, I was sending out direct mail. People were, pretty much just looking at me as one of the junk mail people. And I knew I had other things that I could contribute to the conversation, but it was just really hard to separate, break out from the noise. So this is an exercise I did, and I encourage everybody who's listening to try it out. I made a list of all the deals that I had done up to that point, and I listed two things. I listed what my net profit was per deal, which is a topic people don't mention enough. We're talking about profit, not deals, okay? So net profit, and then if I enjoyed actually doing that transaction with that customer, because I guess I'm kind of spoiled. Like I want the best of both worlds. I want to be able to make a lot of money, have a good business, but then I also want to enjoy, what I'm doing all day. So long story short is I made that list and everything pointed towards working with seniors. They were slow to build trust, but when they did, they're very loyal. is an incredible niche. Most of them had deferred maintenance on their house. They needed a lot of help. You know, my grandma raised me and then I took care of my grandma. So I've always kind of had, you know, just a love for seniors. So I, you know, I listen to Dan Kennedy a lot and he talks about the riches are in the niches. And so I said, you know, I want to really dive in. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is niche. So that's part of the story. And then I started using some things that other people in my market were using creatively to get deals, which we're going to talk about. We'll list them off. And I started getting results that just were kind of unbelievable. Like, you know, you'd have to experience it for yourself. But basically, that's how I got the idea for my YouTube channel, Customers Chasing You. For the first time, instead of just being a dime a dozen and being another person in the junk mail, I had people calling, ask if they could work with me, if they qualified. And it was all just the pivoting and the just a totally different process. So that's what we're going to break down today in five easy steps.
You know, you brought up something that I think is important that sometimes people don't necessarily appreciate. And that was the number of deals that you were talking about.
Right.
I hear people all the time say, well, I've done 65 deals. Well, great. But if you made $500 on each deal, you're not someone I want to follow. No one ever asked that follow-up question. How much do you make on your average deal? Because that's what we should be focusing on, right? It's not how many deals we do. It's how profitable those deals are. And to get those more profitable ones, you got to find the better deals. And that's what I think people listening in today are going to figure out how to do that. So you got five steps. What is number one?
Well, the first one is on, you know, if people are spending money on direct mail still works. There's people leaving direct mail, and which is always a good time to go back into it. But we kind of have like three approach. So, you know, sending to one list is not working. You have to stack your direct mail. You've definitely need to attack the list that you create. So stacking is taking multiple lists, putting them together. You have a more, you know, greater chance, high impact list, better percentages. And instead of sending a customer one piece of mail or a seven touch campaign, how are you, you know, reaching them in multiple ways? So that's the attack. So there's basically three steps to direct mail. And it has nothing to do with magenta versus turquoise, A-B split testing, or this benefit statement. It has to do with the quality of your list, stacking your list, you know, investing in good data to begin with. That's how you start a good direct mail campaign. Number two is you're not just sending them one piece of mail, not just sending them seven, not just sending them a variety of mail, but, you know, are you capturing their email address and then following them around with a retargeting ad on Facebook? Are you also doing, you know, text message legal in the right way in your state at the same time? And are you putting those all together in the same month to create real omnipresence? When you start doing that, it takes a little more coordination. It takes a little more planning, but you get more results. And then the last step that I missed for a while, and then when I didn't, it started making a huge difference, is the tracking. So if you're spending money on direct mail right now, are you really tracking it? You know, for most entrepreneurs, visionaries, solopreneurs, deal finders, they like to hunt. They like to go out and, you know, the chase and the thrill of the deal, not go back and see, okay, I've got, you know, four different campaigns, which one had the best return on marketing investment? So the first step to really blowing up your results is doing those three things: stacking your list, getting better coordinated data, attacking it from multiple approaches, and then tracking every dollar that goes out in your business. You do that, and you're probably going to, you know, when I started doing that, I doubled and tripled my results, my net profit per deal, you know, by doing that. But it's, you know, it's not fun, but that's step number one.
Well, what's stacking?
Stacking is when you take like multiple list sources and you stack them on top of each other. And what you do is you identify, you know, multiple factors that might make somebody your customer. So in our business, you know, like, you know, physical distress of the property or financial distress of the homeowner. So if somebody's on a code enforcement list, that's an indicator of physical stress. But if somebody's on a code enforcement list and they're on a pre-foreclosure list, now we have two points of distress. And if our job is to serve, you know, people who are in distress and help them, then that person who's on two of the lists instead of just one is a better potential customer. So we're going to invest more time and energy to communicate with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So they have more pain points that you can push on. or to help them out of that situation. But we, so then when you're marketing to them, if you're writing your piece, I heard you say that, you know, it doesn't matter the color, but how about the context of it? Are you changing that up? Or because I can imagine that'd be really difficult if you've got 80 pieces you're dropping and some of them have three factors, one has two factors, one just has one pain point. How do you systematize that though, so that you're not having a, or maybe you don't, you make each one unique?
Are you cheating? Are you looking at the list? That's number two. I love it when you set me up like that, Clint. I love this. This is great. This is pro stuff you're getting here, folks. Clint's all the money. I love your show. Thank you for having me on. So the second one's transitional call to action. So, you know, the benefit statement, whether it's one pain point or 10, they're all the same thing. They're going to want to do something with the property. So your benefit statement, whether it's buy your house or, you know, it's listing or remodeling it first, whatever that is, doesn't really change. And most real estate investors have a fairly clear call to action, call this number to see if we can help you. These are the benefits to working with us. That's all good. But number two is what folks are missing, and it's a huge moneymaker. I missed it for probably 2.5 years. So I lost a lot of money not doing this. I don't want that to happen to you. It's called the transitional call to action. A transitional call to action is where you make it very easy for the customer who's not ready to sell their property right now, who's not ready to take advantage of your call now to see if your house qualifies. It's a second call to action that is easier way for them to engage with you. So what we do, because we write educational books around real estate and we share them with our audience, we create a lot of curiosity. And so when we send out direct mail or flyers, or when our members across the United States do that, they have a benefit statement on their direct mail, which says, hey, we can help you with your home. We can do this and that. Give us a call. And then the secondary is, if you're not ready to do anything right now, call our office. We wrote the book on, you know, like one of our books on senior housing. You can go online and buy it, or you can call our office and we'll send you a copy for free. And so what that does is, you know, I mean, Clint, who doesn't want a free book, right? I mean, that sounds pretty cool. From the author, signed, autographed. So what happened was, we were getting 0.5% response rate on our direct mail, which was still profitable because, you know, we're putting out, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 worth of direct mail to get a $33,000 net profit flip deal on a 6-month conversion cycle. That's still a profitable business decision, but it's like, most of the people that we are reaching didn't have a need right now, but they are going to have one in the future. What can we do to stay in the conversation? So then when we wrote the book on senior housing and we started offering it to them, we sent them a copy of the book. Well, now we have their mailing address. Now we know that they're raising their hand, and we have a follow-up conversation with them in a couple of weeks, not to say, hey, when are you going to hurry up and sell your house so I can make some money? Instead, we say, hey, what did you think of the book? We want to get your feedback. And so it's a much easier conversation, and they're really like bandit signs in people's living rooms. You know, I used to put bandit signs out, our team did, you know, on the street and the curbs, and people hate those. But now, you know, because we have something that we can share with people, we have bandit signs in their living rooms. That's our books that they never throw away. You know, I've got your book, Clint. I bought it a couple of years ago. I haven't thrown it away. And when I, you know, anytime that I have a need over there, I go and look at my library and you're there, you know, you're spying on me in my office. So that's how books work. But that's the power of a transitional CTA call to action. It doesn't have to be a book. It can be, you know, sending them to an educational video. It can be sending them to the website to learn more. But this is where creativity has to come in. And this is what the people at the RIA clubs are not teaching. And we've got three more to go.
So one thing that you get from writing a book and sending the book, you've elevated yourself beyond your competition. Mm-hmm. So now you're the expert. Two, you've changed the conversation now from someone who is just trying, they perceive, to take from them, profit from them,
right,
to someone who's trying to help them. And so I imagine that, like you stated, that conversation is different. I could see how that would apply, because now their guards will go down. And they're going to be more open probably having that conversation.
100%. You know, I don't know what words we're allowed to say on the show, but, you know, predatory scum sucker is one that I hear thrown around a little bit on it when it describes investors. Some people have a great reputation. Some don't. You know, there's some people who ruin it for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So what's great is because the PR is so poor for investors, you have such an incredible opportunity to differentiate and pivot in the opposite direction. You know, if the credibility was amazing, it'd be a little harder to separate. But because people are so dubious and they're so nervous and it's such a big decision, there's such a huge opportunity to be the knight in, you know, shining armor and empower these folks with what they're really looking for. And this brings us to number three, which is what folks are really looking for when they call. So is it okay if we jump into that?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So number three is the difference between customer service and sales. There's a huge difference. Folks, a lot of times, just really don't understand the buying cycle of a customer. And you have to be on their buying cycle because they're the ones who are dictating that. And if you're not, then you're just wasting money and it's going to go awry. So a lot of investors think, you know, realtors, brokers think that when somebody calls into the office, that's a lead and it's your job to sell them on stuff. And that's really not the case at all. There's two phases. There's a customer service side where people are calling to get information, to learn. They're curious about you, but now is the time where they're doing research. Now's the time where they're going online to look up you and see what everybody's saying about you. This is when they go to social media, they talk to their friends and family, but they don't need you to give them a benefit statement and start selling them. They're not ready to buy. So when people call, a great way to really jack up your results and differentiate yourself is number one, answer the phone. Only 1 out of 10 investors do. Okay. It goes to voicemail and they're proud of that. Big mistake. And then when somebody's calling you, see where you can serve them, put them first. Okay. And when they're calling, identify if they're calling because they're trying to get information, that's customer service and experience, or if they really are in decision-making mode and they need to, you know, get to that point. What a lot of folks do, what I used to do that was 100% wrong, is I was like, I only want to talk to people who are motivated, who want to do something right now. Huge mistake. Because everybody does become motivated and wants to do something. You want to get in and start building a relationship with them as early in the cycle as possible. So when they are ready, you're the only person that they're talking to. Does that make sense?
It's called building a lead funnel.
There you go. You know,
everyone who's in business where it's sales related understands that concept. And I think a lot of real estate investors don't, if they haven't been in the business before, that you need to cultivate these leads.
Right.
And then that cycle, as you just stated, could be 6 months, could be 9 months, could be a year. And then what happens, it builds on itself. And then you, as you stated, you're answering your phone just starts to ring all the time because of all those people you've cultivated. That's a really good point that I hope people listening in on this are picking up on, that it's not about the immediate, just looking for today. You have to think long-term. You're building the business.
Yeah. And people understand it in other industries better, like an informational marketing side. People get that all the time, because that's really how most of the business comes from that. So they have automated ways of following up. But yeah, they've taken time to study exactly what you said, how to cultivate that customer. And so if, you know, investors who get on that, that's a huge, huge benefit. And that's, you know, stuff that we teach on our channel too. So are you ready for number four? We're getting towards the end.
Yeah, but one thing I want to say about that too, that people pick up on, is that the books, when you're sending the books out, I imagine some people think, well, I wouldn't read that book. You don't have to have somebody read it. You know, you said my book's on your shelf. You're probably going to tell me you read it. Maybe you did, but maybe you just glanced at it, went through it, pulled out a nugget or two that you wanted. But the fact is that it's there. It's opened the door. And and so what I found is that a lot of people, they don't read my book from start to finish, but the fact that they have it, they know then that I'm the expert in that area. And that is what you're trying to cultivate by having that put in their hands.
Yeah, it's a business card that they never throw away. It's the bandit sign that's in their living room. So when all the yahoos go to some boot camp to learn how to lose money on their first deal, or how to maximize their, you know, poor credibility and name recognition in the market by backing out of the first three, you know, contracts they ever get into because they don't know what they're doing, they're knocking on the door, you know, saying, hey, you know, I was just lying to people. Yeah. I mean, like, if you have to lie to people to make a living, you can't tell people what your business name is because you're illegally sending them text messages. I don't get that. I don't live like that. I'm not judging people, but like, that's not a real business to me. I'm over here creating real business. I'm consulting with companies that have businesses. They want to do this for a long time. And And so you have to do it the right way. There's no shortcuts. Like you said, I know you put a lot of effort in to get to know your customer and serve them at the highest level. And that's why you have so many loyal people on the show and your customers. Every business needs to be like that. So if you're just an opportunity seeker, we're in a peak market. Every, you know, barista in Starbucks is leaving their job to flip real estate. None of this stuff is going to make any sense to you because you're like, oh, this is like the slow lane. I just want to go door knocking, lie to people, use the script from a boot camp and wholesale houses to riches. I mean, that's garbage. You get washed out as soon as the interest rate goes up 0.5%. But you know, when people are doing all that stuff, your book, my book, the books, whatever you give people that are sticking around, they're in their living room and they're saying, hey, you know, Mavis, that's the customer. You go tell that real estate person to leave because whenever you're ready to sell your house, there's no rush. You know the expert and you can just give me a call. And so it's just serving people at a higher level. They want that. And it's serving your business better too.
How many people do you find that you've talked to actually look you up on the internet, these sellers that you've sent the books out to? Is that very common?
Extremely common. People don't realize how common it is. And if you knew, the biggest risk in your business are the things that you don't see. It's just like rehabbing a house. The stuff that you can see, it's not the problem. It's the stuff behind the walls. Yeah, folks are going online. That is how the customer buying cycle is happening. And so if they go online and they find bad stuff, that's bad. If they find nothing, that's also bad. So what are you doing as a business owner to manage your online, you know, brand reputation and presence? Being proactive about it, you know, allows you to have some say in the conversation, not just two or three, you know, motivated sellers who are mad at the world and posted a bad review that, you know, isn't really accurate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So really there's some subtext here to what you're talking about. It, you know, sending out the books, one part of it, mm-hmm. but also you should develop an online presence, maybe do some YouTube videos on that subject matter that speaks to your audience. And so again, that adds another level of credibility.
And that goes to number four. You're exactly right, which is developing a niche. You know, a niche is a true specialty. It's where you actually know something. You have a deeper level of knowledge about something than your competitors. And that creates a better value proposition for your customer. And that's why they pick you. And, you know, so I hear a lot of folks like, no, I don't want to be niche. I just want to generalize. It's a scarcity mindset. The riches are in the niches. Dan Kennedy says that. I really believe it. And a niche is also good for your business. It's also good for your customer because you can serve them at a higher level. Clint, you're an attorney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do all kinds of law, immigration law and divorce and everything?
No. I mean, I know where you're going with this, is that we picked a niche when we started, and that was to focus on asset protection for investors. Mm-hmm. And we did it in a way that is unlike what most attorneys, the way they practice. In fact, my grandfather, he sat down with me because he was an attorney for 50 years. And he said, you're never going to find success as an attorney the way you practice law because you give it all away. And I looked at him and I said, well, first off, you're right. But second of all, you're wrong. I don't see myself as an attorney. I see myself as an educator. And I'm building a business here. I'm not building a traditional law firm. I found that there's a niche in providing the education, which, as you just stated, develops a rapport with the clients where they see you as an expert and then they want to use you. And so that's a really important concept for people to grasp.
And the fact is, so niches are great. Like I said, what I really love working with seniors. I think in the real estate market, they have so many needs. You know, I would go buy houses from folks, seniors, and, you know, they basically, you know, a typical scenario, they've lived in their house for 40 years. There's a lot of deferred maintenance. They don't know how to get it fixed up. They don't really know how much it's worth. They know they need to live somewhere else, but they don't know where to go and how much it's going to cost and how they're going to pay for it. And then they have children that don't live at home that either try to help from afar or they're meddling and making things more difficult. So these seniors, maybe they lost a spouse recently or they have a physical situation. Really, they're seniors just like my grandma. You know, she lost her husband and then lived another 25 years by herself in her house. You know, it had deferred maintenance. She wasn't wealthy by any means. And there's millions of seniors like that that need help. It's a huge opportunity for investors and real estate professionals who, number one, have the heart of love. They want to help people. They want to help seniors. They had a senior that was a big part of their life and they want to grow their business. And if you do that through education, it's lights out. And when you specialize and focus on a niche, you can help those people at a way higher level than your competition. Honestly, like, not to be arrogant, but you won't have any competition because you have it so dialed in. You're working with these people with the similar, you know, needs, and, you know, being an educator is a huge benefit, not just because your audience is absorbing education, but it's because in order to be an educator, you're constantly learning. There's a lot of professionals out there where the learning stops when they get out of college or law school. But, you know, you're always reading and learning how you can help and educate and serve your customers. I'm doing the same thing. I'm always asking questions because I want to know what they want to learn about. And then I learn it and teach it to them. So you really can take people to, 10X, 100X value level by focusing on a niche. And that's why I think we both agree on that one.
Absolutely. Okay. So that's four.
You ready for number five?
I am.
This is it. Drum roll. So it's becoming an author. And we've talked about it a little bit, but I just don't think folks truly, if you've never been an author, you don't understand how powerful it is. If you took numbers 1 through 4, direct mail, all the things that we just taught today, the transitional call to action, customer service versus sales, and niche, and you really dialed those in and you added them all together and multiplied them by 10, they would be a grain of sand on the beach compared to the power of being an author. It is a superpower. I'm not understating it. And there's really three principles to it. There's being the authority, which I think the word author is in the word authority. You know, I'm dyslexic, but I have great proofreaders. So, but authority, expert, and celebrity status are the three, you know, superpowers of becoming an author. And this is not about, you know, driving your ego and getting famous and all this kind of stuff. But this is real superpower. People perceive you differently. You know, when I didn't have a book, I would go over to people's houses and I was in the junk mail pile. I was a dime a dozen. You know, I knew I could serve them at a higher level, but they didn't know. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, wasn't able to cut through the noise. On my first appointment, when I finished my book a year and a half ago or so, I took my book with me, and the senior was so interested in my book, they didn't even want to talk to me. They wanted to just read the book. And so then I learned, okay, now when people call, I say, have you gotten a copy of my book yet? And I say, can you come over to my house? And I say, have you gotten a copy of my book yet? And they're like, no, you have a book? And like the whole game changes, you know? I said, yeah, I wrote a book, Step-by-Step Senior Housing Guide. Here's what I'll do. It's on senior housing, but I mean, it covers real estate, and chapter 3 is all the ways to sell your house. So how about this? I'll courier over a copy of my book to you. I'll come over in a couple days and then just read chapter 3, all the ways to sell your house. If you change your mind, just call me. I won't come over. And then, otherwise I'll see you in a couple days. And what that does in a very competitive market, do you live in a competitive market? Where are you at? Seattle?
Yeah. I'm in Tacoma.
Tacoma. So, I mean, are there a lot of real estate investors and everything?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so hard to invest here. Oh, your cap rates, people are getting in at 6% and thinking they're getting the deal.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth, and you know, I have licensees coast to coast, you know, California to Connecticut. And everybody's saying the same thing. There's a lot of people investing. It's hard to get good deals. One of the things I hear a lot from investors is that, you know, they'll go, that somebody will call them, they'll want to, you know, maybe sell the house to them, and they, you know, they're like, come out right now. And it's like the first person that races out to the house buys it. And, you know, for me, when I send the book, like the sales process really shuts down. They call the other people that were going to come over and say, we don't need you to come over anymore. They get rid of the list of the other people that were going to call, and they wait for me. They invest 7 hours with me when I'm not there because they read my book. So by the time I show up to their house, or somebody from my team, or one of our licensees who co-authors our books all over the nation, you know, they've already invested 7 hours with us by reading our book, reading our story. So it does all the heavy lifting, you know, for us. So it's an incredibly powerful tool. If you're in a competitive market, there's a lot of benefits. The other last two, and then we'll have a little time or something if we have some questions, is, so you have the authority, you know, you're the expert. Once again, that's a term. The fastest way to increase results in your marketing is to change your customer's perception of you in their mind, period. If that's all you need, stop the show here, but keep listening because we got a free gift for everybody who stays on, okay? If your customer sees you as a salesperson, that's what you are. They have something that you want, and they're going to treat you like that. They're going to treat you like a transaction, And it's just whoever can pay the most for the house, you're going to lose, they're going to win. It's a win-lose. If they see you as the expert, you have the power to prescribe. You know, I used to go over to people's houses to buy their house, and they would argue with me. They'd be like, you know, oh, the house is worth way more than that, or the repair, it doesn't need that much repair. I bought this carpet in 1982. It's fine. And I'm like, you know, I knew I'm the expert. You're the expert in your niche, in your law, right? But at the time, the customer didn't really understand it, you know? So it's now I have the power to prescribe. I say something and they do what mm-hmm. I say. It's like going to the doctor's office and they say, you have this problem and you need this. If you really feel like that person's the expert that you're seeing, then you listen to them most of the time, you know? So that's kind of a benefit. The last one is a celebrity. I don't really know how to explain it, but people just act irrationally around celebrities. You know, I've had World War II vets want to take selfies with me before I cross the threshold of their house. I mean, it's like, this is weird. You know, like I used to go to houses individually. Now I have 30 people come to my office to do a workshop and a book signing. We just did a workshop with our workbook system for one of our licensees in Orlando. He had 30 mm-hmm. people come to his office. Chick-fil-A, we love Chick-fil-A. They sponsored the event. They donated the food. Because we told them it was a senior planning workshop, which it is. So mm-hmm. like they're donating the food for a for-profit business meeting. Instead of me driving to look at 30 properties, they come to my office. I'm not a salesperson. I'm in a position of authority and expertise and celebrity. And we're doing a book signing and we're doing video testimonials at the end that we put on the website. Like, this is so much better way to run your business. The customer's happier and you'll be happier. So here's my advice to everybody who stayed on. Whether you get involved in my book system, and we'll put some links down below, you can call, reach out, and we'll show you what we're doing. And you know, you can talk to our investors who are using this system all over the nation. Whether you use our system or someone else's, or you write your own, get involved with books because they're very, very powerful. And Clint, you have books. So I'm sure you can attest to this too.
Well, absolutely. And what I was going to say about that is, you know, when it comes to writing a book, so my first book took me 2 years to put together. I'm on my second book. And again, I started it 2 years ago. And mm-hmm. this week, it's amazing, we're on this phone, we're doing this podcast together. I started up again working on the book. I mean, I already have all the chapters done, but I go back through it and I keep working on it and refining it to get it to speak the way I want it to sound to my audience. That is time consuming. It takes a ton of effort, heavy lifting to do that. But when you can go to someone who has already done all that heavy lifting for you and just present you something that it doesn't really have to have your voice, it just needs to convey that you're an expert in the field. I tell you, I mean, part of me wishes there was a manual out there because people often ask me, they say, well, Clint, well, you know, what other book should I read about asset protection for real estate investors? And I tell them, I said, there's nothing out there besides my book. There really isn't. I saw that when I started writing the book, that there wasn't anything like that that has been written before. And so you offer that to people. Right. I mean, you've already done it. That's what you're saying, as I understand it,
right,
that people can take advantage of.
Yeah, we have a book. I take my book and my workbook, which I use to unlock things. I mean, me and my team are at churches doing workshops for seniors and their adult children. We're getting new customers at senior centers. We're at all these places that were traditionally off limits to discount home buyers. Now the folks are welcoming us in and they're actually paying to do all the marketing. We had a church recently that said, you know, so funny, when I was Max Buys Homes and I had a similar content and presentation. I mean, I know houses, I have experience, I love seniors. When I wanted to go up there and teach, they were like, no, thanks. And then when I was Savior, like our Lord and Savior, which at a Christian church is, you know, like not very threatening, they were like, no, thanks. But then when I was the local author of a book and a workbook, and I'm offering to teach a free workshop to their audience and do a book signing, I sent them a copy of the book and the workbook. And they're like, wow, this is like amazing. Come on down. And we have templates already, you know, people who join our system in less than 30 days, they get two books, plus the whole system on how to actually use it in their local area. Now, the good news is we've already done the heavy lifting. We've done all the templates. And for about 2 hours of effort, we personalize, write your story into it. We do the work. And it's a very quick and easy way to basically go from no book, competing with the junk mail pile, and not standing out, to within 30 days, being that true local expert And it's not making you an expert. You already are, but now your customer knows it. Okay. So it doesn't, somebody who's brand new just doesn't become an expert. That's not how it works. But we have a whole system that we plug people into, and we only allow a certain number of people per geographical area. Most areas just one. So once your area is gone, that's it. We want people to truly have something, a business building tool where they can take this curriculum, share it with seniors, share it with homeowners, share it with their adult children, and you know, teach, educate, and help the community, and also build their business. Because here's the need. You know, this is where I got the idea from this. I don't think I've ever told the story before, but I was skiing with some friends. They had, you know, very successful in business. It's the end of the year, December. They're talking to their CPA. They're talking to their tax planning attorney. They have a high net worth. They have a lot of assets. They have great people to help them. And it was like I was living in two parallel worlds. Then I get done skiing, I'd go back, you know, home, and I go to Gladys's house, you know, and she worked at the phone company. She just lost her husband. She's got a little pension, a little social security. Her house is falling apart. Her kids live in another state, and she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know how much her house is worth. She doesn't know how she's going to stick around. She doesn't know where she should move to and how much it's going to cost. And then every single time she wants to get the answers to those questions, she has to call a straight commission salesperson that pretty much just tries to talk them into their option only. So what this has allowed is for me and my members across the nation to really make that pivot, to go to Gladys, to go to Mavis, to go to these families and say, we're the resource, we're the foundational source for anything related to this topic. And we're here to share these resources and connect and point you to places that don't monetarily benefit us, but we have a big network of folks. And so it's a really, really different way to build your business. So if you want to learn more how to do that, we'll put some contact information down below. And then Clint, you said you were talking about your book journey. I have a book template that I use. I've written three books. I'm on number four. And I use a template for to start every book. And you know, when I consult for other people and they want me to write custom books, I use the same one and I charge a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm offering it to your audience for free. All they have to do is just click on the link, fill out the info, and they'll get access to our business systems library. It's all the systems that we use to run our multiple real estate and, you know, marketing companies. They get access to those. And then if people want to continue the conversation and learn more about this book system, or they want a free copy of the book, there'll be a link in there. They can just click it. And for the first 50 people who comment, give it a thumbs up, and reach out to us, we'll send you a free copy of the book. So you can either get involved in our system, or you can just use it as a template and figure out what you want to do. But get involved in books. It's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you this, having that template makes the job so much easier. I mean, after I did my first book, I have the template. So my second book, I'm just using that same template I put together for the first book. And you find your voice in doing that. So guys, this is great. Take advantage. Go to the link. It's in the show notes. Click on that and go grab those templates, get that information, get that learning. And definitely you should check out the books. I have three copies of his book that Max sent to me. And they're two different sizes. You have one larger one and then two smaller, a local edition. And I tell you what, when they came in, it looks like something that someone in that position that is looking to sell their home or has been considering it, they're in a distressed situation, they're going to see this as an authoritative manual, authoritative a book. So it's well put together. Great job on doing what you've done. I hope people take advantage of this and get the education. Is there anything else you'd like to say to them in parting?
No, thanks everybody for listening. Like I said, just you know, engage, you know. And Clint, I appreciate you. You have a fabulous, fabulous show. So if you liked it today, give it the thumbs up, you know, subscribe. It helps us kind of spread it to other people. And yeah, I think we're just both on an education journey and, you know, always looking for, you know, more people to bless and, you know, so just take advantage of it, take action. Don't be one of these people who listens to podcasts and then says, oh, I feel good for like a couple hours, but I'm not getting results. Yeah, fill out the link, get the business systems, peruse, and I've got a link on there for a 15-minute call, and you know, love to send you a copy of the book and chat and see if it's a fit. And if it's not, I can connect you too with people in my network that can maybe serve you at a different level.
Nice. Max, thanks for taking the time today. I really appreciate that. And I hope some people reach out and get this information. I know it's going to benefit them going forwards. Again, thanks for taking time. And I look forward to having you on the podcast in a few more months.
Sounds good. Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.